time to get the local view. He was on the scene in Vegas for the run to the title to match with the regular season conference championship. Soon he will visit equally glamorous Spokane. You can catch his work in the Register Guard. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Austin Meek, RG. Austin Meek, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. It's the best week of the year as far as I'm concerned, so I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'm downright childish at this time of year, and the fact that they pay me to do this makes it all the more obscene. But in the midst of all the basketball action last weekend at the MGM Grand, did you do any damage at the sports book? Anything we should know about?
I'll tell you about it later. No.
Are you quitting your job?
Came away. I'm not in any. I'm not in danger of going bankrupt.
Nice.
I won a couple bucks on the Jayhawks. It's become kind of a routine for me when I'm there. I'll put a couple bucks on the Jayhawks, and they usually come through for me in the Big 12 tournament.
Oh sure, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. They own the conference. As we've discussed here, you obviously witnessed much action at Allen Fieldhouse. You've been to other conference tournaments. And before you arrived here, they played the Pac-12 event in L.A. So if you consider all the venues and under what circumstances you've been there in person, how was the atmosphere and kind of the fan turnout in Vegas for this one this year?
The atmosphere for the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas is always great. It was great again this year. I think really it might be the only conference tournament that rivals the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, which is so cool. And obviously, I haven't been to all of them, but just from talking to other reporters in the business, the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City is just great. It's a great setting, a great environment. The fans really come out and support it. But the Pac-12 tournament is, I think, probably a close second to that. Because it is Vegas, you know, there's some natural excitement built into that. And, you know, the arena is always full. It'll be really interesting to see what happens next year when they move to the new T-Mobile Arena, which is a bigger, newer arena that is not connected to the casino. So it's going to be a different environment. Hopefully they can still capture the same vibe that they have at the MGM. Because it really is a neat atmosphere for that tournament.
Yeah, it's just watching on TV, I kept saying, man, this place is buzzing. So let's move to the Ducks, got a one seed. There was a wacky finish Friday against Arizona. Then they took on Utah, who had gone overtime itself, and I think they ended up tipping off like 19 hours later. How surprising was the total domination in that game? And I know teams and coaches like to play it down, but do you think fatigue or just being taken out of their normal routine played a role for Utah getting killed like that?
You know, I think Utah was emotionally and physically drained from the night before, and I think they probably felt like, hey, let's go out and give it a go, and if we're in this game, then we'll really give it all we have to try to win it. And when it started going bad in the first half, I think Utah probably raised the white flag a little bit and said, hey, we got more basketball to play. We're going to lose the battle to try to win the war, if you know what I mean. So that was not an impressive performance at all by Utah. Got to give Oregon some credit. You know, Oregon played a tough game the night before, too. They had an overtime game, had a couple extra hours to recover from it. But Oregon played really well. Utah did not play well at all. You know, maybe that was the statement that got Oregon from that number two line to the number one. That had to be pretty impressive for the committee.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So your follow-up piece after the title game Saturday was kind of interesting because 3.5 months ago, Ducks were in Vegas. They had lost a rough game at Boise, then lost to UNLV. So for those who missed it, apparently there was a meeting over pancakes. who was present? What was the connection? And I guess the focal point of what they discussed.
Well, first of all, I support any meeting that involves pancakes. I think that's probably the key ingredient of the whole thing.
Good.
But yeah, going back to December, you know, Oregon lost that game to UNLV and lost on the road at Boise, and it was a pretty crucial juncture in the season. You know, that was a point where it could have really gone one of two ways. And so Dylan Brooks and Dylan Ennis, the two Canadian guys, got together for breakfast with Mike Meninga, the assistant coach. You know, they basically just talked about what do we have to do to get this thing back on track. And, you know, as those guys were recounting that for me in the locker room, they basically, it sounded like they just said, hey, from now on, we're just going to bring a lot of positive energy. We're going to really try to set the tone for this team. And hopefully the other guys will follow that lead. It was a lot of things that came together for Oregon to be able to be in this position to win the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 tournament and get a one seed. All of that stuff, going back to December, would have seemed pretty far-fetched. But that was at least one part of it, and those guys felt like that was maybe a little spark that got them going.
Well, sure did. Before we get into specifics, Selection Sunday, the show itself, some people were a little iffy, some surprises, whether it was Michigan and Syracuse getting in or leaving out Monmouth or Valpo. So by the tone of your what was your read on the job cranked out by Joe Castiglione and his committee?
Well, before I even get to that, the show itself was awful. It was ridiculous.
Is it still going on somewhere?
Yeah, on True TV right now. It's still going, I think. Selection Sunday for me is one of the greatest days of the year, and I thought they completely ruined it. You know, all the drama was just sucked out of it by that ridiculous two-hour show. When I think of Selection Sunday, I think Greg Gumbel and Clark Kellogg, in front of that blue screen at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, you turn on the TV, you get the first bracket, go to break, get the next region, and in 20 minutes you got your bracket all filled out. This was just excruciating, and the only good thing that came out of it was the fact that the bracket leaked about halfway through it, which hopefully will convince CBS that this is a terrible idea and they should not do this next year.
All right, I'm taking a tally. I've got Austin Meek, the column. No, I just in case they take a vote. As far as the Pac-12 goes, 7 of the 12 teams get in. Only the Big 12, which got 7 of 10, had a higher percentage of teams that were picked to go. I think people around here get a little whiny about respect. So 7 in. And it appears there were no bubble teams in this conference. So could we say the league was evaluated all year and rewarded on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 benefited greatly from the RPI this year. Oregon and Oregon State certainly have no room to complain. You know, the next time somebody plays the no respect card at Oregon, remind them that the Ducks just got a one seed. Right. And Oregon State getting a 7 was higher than I expected. You know, the one Pac-12 team that I thought did not get a good draw at all was Arizona. You know, you look at Cal, and they were 23-10, and they got a 4 seed. Arizona was 25-8, and they got a 6, and they got shipped to Providence, where they might have to play Wichita State, and they could even be an underdog to Wichita State as an 11 seed, depending on who wins that play-in game tonight. You know, Wichita State is one of the best 11 seeds ever, and Arizona's going to have to go across the country to play them as a 6. I thought Arizona really got a tough draw.
Sure did. By getting the 1, of course, now the spotlight is on Oregon, and assuming they don't get shocked Friday, St. Joe's or Cincinnati, Bearcats, it just seems, are always in the dance. The Hawks have a terrific 1-2 scoring punch. Then you've got Duke, Oklahoma, and Baylor in the bracket. If you look at this region, kind of what do you make of it, and what do you think the chances are Oregon makes it all the way out?
You know, I think it's a manageable region. I put out the question on Twitter to Oregon fans about, once the number one seed came up for Oregon, who do you want as the 2 seed in your region? Had a lot of people saying Villanova. Had a couple people saying Oklahoma. The most prevalent sentiment was that we do not want Michigan State
right
as the 2 seed in our region. So in that sense, I think Oregon caught a break, because I agree with that. I think the 2 seed that would have been the toughest road by far would have been Michigan State. Not that Oklahoma is an easy team to get through, not that Oregon will even get there. I mean, they're going to have to beat probably, you know, St. Joe's, Cincinnati. I'm not sure what to make of that game, but either way, that, you know, it's a team that could give Oregon a good game. And then if it's Baylor in the Sweet 16, that's a team Oregon played very early in the season. I think a team that's gotten better. Or if it's Duke, you know, either way, there's potentially some tough games out there, but I think it's a manageable path. You know, I don't look at any other team in the West and say that anybody jumps out as being just a terrible matchup for Oregon. I think an Oregon-Oklahoma game would be a lot of fun.
Wow.
With Buddy Hield and those guys from Oregon, it's going to be a high-scoring game. I hope it happens because I'd like to be there.
I'll tell you, when you tweeted that out, I got confused because you meant teams in the tournament. Because if it was up to me, I'd want Washington State, Boston College in there as a two seed.
I also got a vote for Utah, which I thought that was pretty good.
I'd actually
love to see Utah. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, now I see where they're going there. Final thought for Austin Meek. And at this juncture, tradition says I would ask you for a Final Four. You can do that. Who have you seen all year that is in, and you'd be surprised if they didn't have a good run in them?
Okay, so I've got one from each region for you here.
Okie doke.
In the South, I've got my eye on Wichita State. You know, I wasn't sure they'd get in. They've been ranked really high by KenPom all year. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but they've got guys who've been part of deep runs before. If they win the game tonight, they could be that team that comes out of the play-in game and makes a little bit of a run. Another team, you know, another Missouri Valley team in the West to keep an eye on is Northern Iowa. Kind of similar team. You know, they've been in it before. They've got guys with tournament experience, and they play a style that I think could be frustrating for teams if they haven't seen it before. In the East, Kentucky, a pretty good predictor of teams that are going to make a run in the tournament is to look back at the preseason AP poll. And Kentucky was right up there at the top in the preseason. They've got so much talent. I can see this being a Kentucky team that really puts it all together. And then in the Midwest, the team I was looking at was Purdue. I've really liked Purdue all year. They've got two really good big guys. And I like the fact, you know, in the tournament, having somebody who can pound it in there and not being overly reliant on the three-pointer, I think is a good recipe for a tournament run. So Purdue's a team I'll have my eye on in the Midwest.
And that Northern Iowa team, I think you're going to see a lot of people leaning for an upset. I mean, they beat North Carolina and Iowa State.
Wichita State twice in the regular season, too.
Yeah, and that, too. Good addendum. So you'll be making the trip to glamorous Spokane. We always appreciate your time and insight. And I don't think you're going to find a sports book there, but enjoy the trip, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, yeah, a little less ritzy than Vegas, but I will enjoy it nonetheless.
All right, hey, good talking to you, Austin.